Hello again. This is Carol Bond returning with the Decatur Herald Review dated May 31st. We'll begin this half hour with a reading of the obituaries. Marilyn Joyce Walk, 80, of rural Neoga, Illinois, passed away at 12:19 p.m. Thursday, May 26th, in the Carle Foundation Hospital of Urbana, Illinois. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 1st, in the First Christian Church of Neoga, with Pastor Mel Workman officiating. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 31st, today, in the Swengel Odell Funeral Home of Neoga, and for 1 hour before the services on Wednesday at the church. Burial will be in the Neoga Memorial Cemetery, Neoga. The Swengel Odell Funeral Home of Neoga is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to the First Christian Church of Neoga, Illinois. Richard Dick Zinn, 76, of Decatur, passed away at 10:40 a.m. Friday, May 27th, at Eagle Ridge Assisted Living, Decatur. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, June 1st, at Boiling Springs Cemetery. Britlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, is handling the arrangements. Condolences may be left to the family in care of the funeral home. We turn again to our Tuesday, May 31st briefs on A3. This little announcement concerns a camp in Mount Zion called Camp Invention. It's a summer enrichment day camp supported by the United States Patent and Trademark Office. It will be available for students in grades 1 through 6 at Mount Zion Intermediate School the week of June 13th. Students build prototypes, take things apart, explore technology, and use science, technology, engineering, and math. For more information, visit the website campinvention.org 2016. The next article, or small brief, is about obesity prevention. Macon County's Obesity Prevention Coalition and County Market will host Make the Healthy Choice the Easy Choice, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, June 4th at County Market, 1175 West Grand Avenue. The free event for all ages offers hands-on learning opportunities, health screenings, activities, giveaways, free food samples, and a healthy cookout. For more information, call Hope Danielson at County Market at 221-5629. Next, a naturalist guided hike at Rock Springs Conservation Area will celebrate National Trails Day at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 4th. The hike will be about 1 hour. This program is free and open to all ages. You must pre-register online by this Friday at MaconCountyConservation.org. On the opinions page, we find two letters to the editor that might be of local interest. One is signed by John Duncan of Decatur, and the headline is Two Observations About Court Hearing on the Sweeney Case. Here's the letter. I attended the court proceedings on May 26th regarding Brad Sweeney's complaint that he was fired from his job as Decatur police chief unjustly. Two observations stood out to me. One, going to court is a heartless and soulless experience. Justice is all about technicalities and process and does not seem to take into account anything having to do with common sense. To me, the irony of that is that I've been a member of two juries, and in both instances, we were instructed on the law, but told to use our common sense to guide us in our decision. I hope Mr. Sweeney's judge listens to his common sense voice as he prepares his ruling. Surely, as a human being, he can see that this fiasco is the biggest boondoggle in recent city history. The second observation was the odd presence of all the uniformed members of our police department. It was suspected by observers that those good people were told to be there, and they were probably on duty at the time of the hearing, so they were being paid to be there. I would like to know who made that call, because for a case that points out misuse of city resources, this element makes it clear that, yes, Gleason does abuse the taxpayer and wastes our money. And, respectfully, Acting Chief Getz's explanation of the presence of those officers was hysterical and completely unbelievable. To conserve the dignity of the command officers of the Decatur Police Department, they should be excused from any further orders to make paid appearances in court to support their ultimate leader, Mr. Gleason. And again, this letter was by John Duncan. It's followed by a very, very brief letter from Glenn Spain of Decatur, as follows. I think the newspaper should refrain from publishing articles about how the gasoline prices are going to be lower. Each time it's published, prices escalate 25 to 30 cents a gallon a few days later. Maybe we'd be better served by being left in the dark. This next article is not exactly local because the dateline is Carmel, Indiana, but I think it has relevance to anyone with children or grandchildren in school these days. The headline is Active Shooter Drills Are Increasing. Lockdown, 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 this is a drill. With those seven words calmly announced over the intercom system, an eerie silence overtook a bustling elementary school of 650 students in suburban Indianapolis. Lights were turned off and blinds shut. In some classrooms, doors were barricaded with small desks and chairs. From start to finish, the intruder drill at the Forestdale Elementary School in Carmel took about 10 minutes, an exercise now so routine at the school as a fire drill. What might sound terrifying to some parents has become the norm in many schools nationwide after a rash of school shootings. More than two-thirds of school districts surveyed by the U.S. Government Accountability Office conduct active shooter exercises. Some schools make their drills very realistic, simulating the sounds of gunshots and using smoke and fake blood. In one case, armed police officers with weapons drawn burst into a Florida middle school, terrifying staff and students alike. Staff and teachers are usually given warning that drills will happen. GAO investigators said one district noted, quote, the difficulty of striking a balance between providing knowledge and inciting fear, particularly at schools with younger children. Between 2000 and 2013, There were 25 shootings at U.S. elementary and secondary schools, resulting in 57 deaths, according to the FBI. These numbers include the shootings at Connecticut's Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012, when an intruder gunned down 20 first graders and 6 educators. Students at Forest Dale began participating in twice a semester intruder drills even before Sandy Hook. Quote, "We do fire drills, but we don't expect there to be a fire. When you get on an airplane, they talk to you about all sorts of safety procedures, but not because they expect the plane to crash, but because you just need to know just in case," said DJ Schuff, a school resource officer in Carmel and a regional director with the National Association of School Resource Officers. But Forest Dale's drills don't have the effects and props that have drawn criticism elsewhere. Playing the role of intruders, Forest Dale principal Deanna Pittman and police officer Greg DeWald walked the halls, jiggled the doorknobs of darkened classrooms, checking for unlocked doors. A staff assistant in an office watching a monitor used the intercom to broadcast the location and description of the intruders so staff and students could choose how to respond. Quote, "Mrs. Pittman is wearing a green blouse today, and Officer DeWald is wearing khaki pants with his policeman's jacket," quote, the assistant said. "Consider what you would do if they were in the fifth grade pod." Inside the school, all went mostly according to plan. No children were stranded in hallways. Doors were locked. Only the head of one little child could be seen peeking out from under a desk. The child quickly popped back under the desk as Pittman walked by a classroom window. There's a photo with this article from the Associated Press showing Forest Dale Elementary School Principal Deanna Pittman and Carmel, Indiana Police Chief Greg DeWald welcoming students as they return to the school following an intruder grill. The children seem unfazed by any of this action and are giving high fives to the police officer who has a uniform jacket on. We'll take a look now at the Decatur Tribune online, Paul Osborne, editor. And first of all, we'll read his City Beat column. Headline, "Our citizens honor the fallen from all the nation's wars." One of our city's strengths is that so many good-hearted people live here, and that's reflected in a lot of ways, including remembering those from our community who have given their all in defending our nation. The photo on the front page of this week's print edition of the Decatur Tribune shows the special event that was held last week at Decatur's historical Greenwood Cemetery, where more than 500 Civil War soldiers are buried. Ada Owens, Decatur Township Clerk, organized the program and invited all citizens to attend with a special invitation given to all who served in the military. A special part of the program was when students from Mary W. French School walked from the school to Greenwood Cemetery carrying American flags to place on the Civil War soldier's grave. The event marked the beginning of remembering some 2,000 military personnel buried in the Decatur Township cemeteries. "I'm always so pleased when I see young people participating in such tributes because they will be the ones to remember the fallen on Memorial Day in future years." In another section of his column, there is this. insane road rage brawl in Decatur. He says about that headline, the above headline was on more than one popular website that showed the video of a road rage brawl between six people during lunchtime a week ago Sunday. The video has gone viral and is everywhere. Actually, the brawl was at an intersection in Forsyth, not Decatur. But Decatur usually gets the headline and blame if anything ugly happens within a 25-mile radius of our city. Macon County Sheriff's deputies were alerted to the fight at U.S. 51 and Barnett Avenue as traffic streamed by in all directions and the officers showed up quickly. A 19-year-old Decatur woman was arrested and booked on charges of felony mob action, aggravated battery in a public place, and criminal damage. And a Decatur man, 35, was arrested on charges of felony mob action and criminal damage to property. I guess it's safe to assume they weren't coming from an inspiring church service and headed for Sunday lunch. Apparently, the insults that sparked the fight started while the cars were still in Decatur and escalated as they headed north towards Forsyth. Local organizations work so hard to build a positive image of Decatur, and then a road rage brawl is what makes the headlines across the nation. To paraphrase a famous old saying, quote, negative news can travel around the world while positive news is getting its shoes on. We have time to read this article that came from New York. It's about Mavis Staples. Here it goes. Mavis Staples is a walking, talking, and blessedly still singing history book. The 76-year-old voice of the Staples Singers sang behind Martin Luther King Jr., dated Bob Dylan, performed at The Last Waltz, recorded with Prince, and just released a disc with alternative rock hero M. Ward interpreting new songs by the likes of Nick Cave and Nico Case. This week offers a burst of attention with the debut of an HBO documentary, Mavis, about her life. This is a quote. I don't feel like it's time for me to sit in a rocking chair, Staples said. I don't feel like it's time for me to retire. I feel so frisky. I still have my gift that the Lord gave me, and I intend to keep using it. Staples' deep, strong voice and patriarch Pops Staples' blues guitar define the Staples Singers. Her mom couldn't sing, but unlike Pops, passed on a powerful voice to her daughter. Singer Bonnie Raitt describes it in Mavis as sensuous without being salacious. Quote, I used to sound like Sister Mahalia Jackson, Staples said. I loved her so much. My father would tell me, get your own style. If you sound like Mahalia Jackson, people are going to talk about her. Her memory remains sharp, and she can vividly recall the day Pops was excited to hear Mavis, her brother, and two sisters sing together in their Chicago home. Pops took a guitar from the closet that he had bought at a pawn shop to accompany them. Mavis didn't realize that her dad learned how to play while growing up in Mississippi. The Staples Singers built their career in black churches in the 1950s. Their freedom songs were part of the soundtrack to the civil rights movement. King liked their song, Why Am I Treated So Bad, and invited them to perform when he had speaking engagements. Pops also noticed young Dylan's songwriting, and the Staples performed Blowin' in the Wind. Young Mavis and Dylan noticed each other, too. Quote, "We may have smooched," she said with a smile. The early 1970s represented the act's commercial peak. Signed to the Stax label, a rhythm section was added, and classics like Respect Yourself and I'll Take You There were made. To some of the Staples gospel fans, the act had embraced the devil's music. But Mavis recited a verse of I'll Take You There in an interview to illustrate a consistency of message. Pops initially demurred when Curtis Mayfield asked them to record Do It Again, saying, "I'm a churchman." Mayfield assured them that the Lord won't mind. Changing styles and times pushed the Staples to the background. Mavis recorded two solo albums with Prince in the late 1980s, but they were victims of his record company battles at the time and given little attention. One of Mavis's heartbreaks is that Pops recorded his own album before his death in 2000, but did not live to see it released. With the help of fellow Chicagoan Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, that music made its way into the world. Tweedy was a benefactor, respecting Mavis's history and still formidable skills, and made two discs with her. It brought her music to a new generation. Mavis won Grammy Awards in 2010 and 2016. The Staples singers never won. Her record company suggested Staples sing songs written specifically for her by young rock-oriented musicians for her project Livin' on a High Note, released last month. Staples spoke to each writer and requested upbeat songs. Staples had never met producer Ward and was counseled by a friend that he was the quiet type. He was no match for a woman named Bubbles, nicknamed Bubbles, I should say. They said, "Mavis, you're going to love him, but he's very shy," she said. I thought, if I could get Prince to talk, I'll get him to talk. So we got along fine. Any deterioration that age has visited on her voice, seems minor. While the low notes may be easier than the high ones, Staples believes she's more seasoned and in control of her instrument. She has a band that recalls but doesn't imitate the sonic blueprint set by Pops, and she still sings with her sister Yvonne. I turn to an article from the AARP bulletin from earlier this spring, and the article is titled Declutter Your Home: 20 Ways to Downsize or Just Clean Up by Marty Jamieson. We may not have time, in fact, we will not have time today to finish all these, but we'll begin. The first piece of recommendation is to start in the attic. When you're up against your memories, remember, you're simplifying your life, not erasing your past. Number one, your wedding dress. If no one is going to wear it again, have some nice pillows made out of it, or save it to wrap bouquets in your daughter's wedding. Or clip off a piece of fabric and display it in a frame with a photo of your wedding day. 2. Love letters. Keep them if they're yours, but if they're your parents, they're not really yours. They're part of a romance between your parents, never meant for you. Burn them ceremoniously and send the love back into the universe. 3. Boxes of photos. Throw out landscape shots. Pick three with people in them from each vacation or holiday. With the rest, pull out the gray shots. Send the keepers to an online scanning service to store in the cloud or make albums. 4. China set. If you like it, use it. If you don't, sell it through eBay. Be realistic, though. Not long ago, the fine china commanded a nice price, but today's consumers want fine tableware that's safe in the microwave and the dishwasher. 5. Antiques. Take high-end antiques to a local antiques dealer who can take them to an auction house. Find out what the house's take is up front, typically 10 to 15%, as well as where it will place the starting bid. 6. Greeting cards. Their job is to greet you over the holidays. They did that. Now you throw them away or put them in the recycle bin. If you save the envelopes, you can go through them to update your address book. 7. Old appliances. Like a yard sale online, Craigslist is the right venue for usable appliances. With local buyers, you skip shipping costs. Tip: sell only to buyers who pay cash and will pick up the item. When they come, have someone with you. 8. Your kids' stuff. It's not your job to save everything from your children's lives. Box up what belongs to the kids and send it to them, or tell them to claim it now with the date you plan to have the house cleared out, or never. 9. Books. If you're going to read it or it just feels too much like family, like The Cat in the Hat, put it on your bookshelf. If not, give it away. You can drop books off at a library or donation center, or call around for a charity that will pick up. 10. Luggage. That graduation gift from your grandparents, if it's in decent shape, sell it at your own or a neighborhood garage sale and tell stories of where you've been. If not, donate it to a charity such as a woman's homeless shelter. Number 11. Hand-me-down furniture. Consignment stores can be a godsend for a chair or sofa in good condition that worked for someone else but not for you. They sell it and usually split it 30-70, 30% to you, but sometimes 40-60. 12. Clothes. Can you answer yes to, do I love it? Do I need it? Or will I use it? If not, then out it goes. It doesn't matter that, quote, I only wore it once, or it's still in good condition, or it was expensive. Then make 3 piles. Toss, donate, and sell. I'll read the remaining suggestions next Tuesday. This has been Carol Bond with the May 31st issue of the Decatur Herald and Review and the Decatur Tribune Online. I look forward very much to reading with you again next Tuesday.